Blog Talk Radio.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. I do apologize for being late, especially on a new day of reading. So frustrating. I was trying to get something done, and then I realized what time it was, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I gotta clock in. Gotta call in. And for some reason, it wasn't recognizing the number I had entered in. I don't know why. I think I do. I was, like, in a rush to, like, call in. Okay, so you are tuning in to listen to more of the book, Not a Family Trait. Oh, my gosh. This week, I am determined to finish it, because here's the thing. I want to read a particular book for you guys for Halloween. And in order for me to read this book on schedule, here, let me check. Yeah, in order for me to read this book on schedule, yikes, I'm going to have to finish it on Halloween Day. Ooh, wait a minute. That means, ooh. Okay, that might work. Originally, I had planned to read three books. Wait a second. What if I did? Sorry, I remember going over this some time ago, like about a week or two ago, and I thought I'd be able to do it. I need to look at the books, though, one more time. Let me see. I mean, I know this is live right now, and you guys probably want me to talk about the book that I'm reading for you guys today. But I just want to make sure that it is possible for me to do this. Because there are three particular books that would be great for Halloween. But I need to figure out if I want to do all three books or if I just want to do the one book. Okay, so the first book is 24 pages. I would not be able to do it. Okay. And the next one is 14 pages. But the original book I had intended on reading to you guys is 13. And if I remember correctly, I think I divided that by three, right? Because, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. In that case, I will have to save the other two either for next year or maybe for my YouTube channel. Oh, my gosh, guys. I have to – oh, my gosh. I'm an idiot. Oh, I don't think I created this book descriptions for those. Oh, my gosh, I need to go over that after the show. This is insane. All right, let me check the time. All right, yeah, I am going to go ahead and talk about what happened in the previous reading. That way, I can go ahead and start reading to you guys for today's section of the book. Ow, what the? Okay. Sorry. So today, we are going to be reading Not a Family Trait. It is inspired, I should say the ghost, I should say the show Ghost Whisperer inspired me to write this book. I keep saying that it's loosely based, but it's not. It's inspired by the show Ghost Whisperer. I need to change that. Because I was actually going over the book descriptions with my sister last week, and she helped me realize a couple of things that I need to change for a lot of different book descriptions. Anyways, let's go ahead and talk about what happened in the previous reading, shall we? Wait, I don't remember what pages those were. That's terrible, right? Okay, no. Melissa... helps this young woman ghost, this young ghost, Dammy, cross over by getting her boyfriend, who is still living, to find the safe deposit box key, which is ironic considering what's going to happen in today's reading. Anyways, she helps her cross over, and after that, she's trying to get Mr. Thomas Hurst, the guy who's the boyfriend still living. He tries to get her to... I'm so stuttered. I'm so muffled today. Or no, not muffled. I don't know what the word is. My brain is fried, I should say. Anyways, trying to figure out what to do here, or where I was. Sorry. I should have even said that before the show. Okay, so Melissa tries to convince Mr. Hurst to tell her where the Wu family is, because it seems he does know. It seems he does know that there is someone from the Wu family who is still in town, and she's trying to get him to she's trying to get that particular Wu family member to come out. She needs to talk to him. But in the process, Angel comes by, and he is saying that Mr. Hurst is lying, you know, because Thomas keeps saying that he doesn't know anyone in the family, but it's not true. And so Angel is having to use his ghostly powers to bring the water temperature very high to make it steam, to make it evaporate, and it's really causing an effect on everyone in the room, especially Melissa. And I think that, oh, that's right. Melissa somehow was able to connect with Angel, and she got him to realize that there's a Wu family member standing next to him. It takes him a little bit, but he realizes that it's the youngest of the Wu brothers, Alan. And so she tries to, what happened? Wait, where am I on time? Okay, I'm good. Sorry, I keep saying where am I on time. Where did I stop? I forgot. She managed to get him to recognize the Wu family member. His name is Alan Wu. Yes, I know I used American names, but I figured it would be easier than looking up Chinese names. I don't want to be... I mean, it probably would be helpful, you know, for future books, but I didn't want to get too enveloped in my research for Chinese names. Anyways, Angel realizes that Alan looks really old, and he asks, what year is it? How many years have passed? And so he tells Melissa what year he thinks it is, and that is actually kind of where we stopped, because we started chapter 8, which is called the Tati Promise. She does the math, and she realizes Angel's been dead for over 50 years, and it kind of amazes her, because how is it after 50 years, Angel still hasn't been able to have peace? And, you know, I don't know how to explain it into words, but, you know, like, because of that, Angel was able to remember what happened before he died, some weeks before he died, I should say. She tells Lizzie and Mr. Wu what's going on. She sees that Angel is crying, but she doesn't know why. And after hearing that, Mr. Wu tries to remember what his father had told him, you know, years ago, when Angel was alive. And so he asks Melissa, what does this Angel know? Why is he sad? And that's actually kind of where we that's actually where we stopped. Oh, shoot, 90s, I need to start reading. So let's go ahead and start reading, shall we? Oh, and by the way, I don't know how to do a Chinese accent, so I'm just going to give this guy a really deep voice. What does this Angel know? Why is he sad? And why would he still be here after all these years? Before pulling out the notes, Melissa bit her lip. What is that?
Earlier this week, I found this. I fell out of the window trying to stop it. Liz, Sally, I think you were right. That night when I went to bed, he fogged the mirror in my bathroom.
To the point, please.
He knew Randy Wu and only wanted to help. He didn't mean for him to overhear something.
What? Mr. Wu whispered slowly.
Randy, he's my oldest brother, the oldest of our four brothers and I.
He shuddered.
I remember, Angel interrupted.
Melissa immediately turned her head to him. He heavily sighed before continuing.
I was talking to a business partner. I was talking to a business partner. We was wanting to expand the business, expand the building, and it meant we couldn't donate any money to people no more.
What did he say?
When he saw her head turn, he knew the ghost must have said something.
Randy overheard a conversation.
When my partner and I left the office, we found him jumping back. He yelled at me, foes betraying his family. But I was intending on keeping my promise.
As he spoke, his memories flashed in his mind and flowed into Melissa's. He knew she needed to know all the details, but wasn't sure how to explain it all. Angel could somehow feel that Melissa could see what memories came to him.
What promise was that?
Melissa asked. Her brows narrowed. It scared her a bit to receive so much details and memories that weren't hers. Her curiosity grew stronger, though. She also knew that Mr. Wu needed to understand, as did she.
I was to pay them, donate a big money amount to help them stay off streets. I never got to.
Angel gulped as more tears poured from his eyes.
I didn't trace them, and they broke in my heart for what happened after.
And covered her mouth. While she solved what the drastic action was that they took, thoughts raced her mind. It broke her heart, too, when the pieces fell into place. She pulled her hand off her mouth the next second.
No, they didn't,
she whispered. Angel nodded with a heavy sigh. He carefully wiped his tears away.
What? What happened after Randy overheard them?
After Angel and his business partner left, he called out on them, called Angel a traitor. He had promised your family to donate a lot of money to you.
But he did. Mom and Dad told me.
They lied. Either that or they didn't know.
Know what? He and Lizzie chorused.
He didn't get the chance to donate. Someone in the family came to his family and stole the money. And it broke his heart that he had to do that.
I can't believe it, he whispered. Not like them.
Melissa stood and gave him the note. He read it, and in doing so, a tear fell down his cheek.
Randy Wu, I'm sorry you overheard. I never wanted you to find out like this. But know if you's angry with me, I understand. It makes me sad to see you's family so desperate to take drastic actions. I only want to help. Be safe. Be happy. Sincerely, Angel. Oh, and don't worry. That Tati Thin will always hold the key.
could have done it, he whispered hoarsely.
What confuses me is what he wrote after he signed.
It's a clue, he and Lizzie said at the same time. The Tatty thing, he muttered. Tatty, why does that sound familiar?
Melissa saw Angel smile faintly. She knew he would give a hint for him.
It's something I gave to the family, a rather unusual gift. Something I don't normally part with.
He paused.
Even though they've broken my heart, I couldn't bear to break my promise. The key helps to keep it.
Angel says the Tatty thing is something he gave to you and your family. An unusual thing, too.
Mr. Wu slowly gasped, understanding the hint.
I always wondered why Ma and Pa wouldn't let me take that statue.
He pulled out his cell phone and called his parents. Mrs. Wu answered first.
Remember that statue, Mom? The one I wanted to keep.
He paused for a moment.
I think there's a way to open it. The man who was supposed to give us the money, Angel, he left a key inside it.
He pursed his lips when he heard her stuttering her words.
Please, Mom, just check.
He waited, as she did. When she pulled out the safe deposit box key, she knew immediately what to do, and said so.
Okay, I'm coming over as soon as I'm done here.
He hung up.
She found it?
Lizzie wondered.
Yes, and said it belongs to a safe deposit box here in town.
He laughed in a boisterous way.
I still can't believe it. Angel did all this?
Yeah. Even though someone stole his money, he still wanted to keep his promise. He always stays true to his word.
That's right,
Angel said with a smile. His brows narrowed as he felt an odd, peaceful feeling. He slowly turned and saw something.
Whoa, that's for me.
He sees the light,
Melissa said softly. Mr. Wu smiled.
Please go in, Angel. I'll make sure whatever is in the box will be put into good use.
From the way you say it, I know you will, Angel said with a smile.
And be gentle to whoever stole the money. I think he only meant to do it out of spite.
I'll tell him,
Melissa whispered. She watched him fade away into the light she couldn't see.
He's gone.
Wow. And I haven't had lunch yet.
Lizzie chuckled, but Melissa gasped, realizing she lost track of time.
What time is it?
Lizzie checked the time and told her.
I gotta go. I'm late.
What about the note?
Melissa smiled while running to the door.
Keep it. I'm sure your family would want to know what happened.
She hurried to her bike and pedaled home on the dirt road. When she got to her grandmother's house, she quickly put the bike away and went inside.
I'm back.
Goodness, child, you had me worried for a bit. Melissa giggled.
All right, what happened? I don't think I've seen you grin that big. It happened again. I crossed over another ghost. Two, in fact.
Her mama squealed and hugged her tight.
I knew you could do it,
she whispered. She pulled away.
Anyone I know? That man, Thomas, he knew someone named Donnie that died some time ago. And I found someone in the Wu family.
Really? So you found out who the ghost was? Her brows rose when Melissa nodded.
And crossed him into the light in the process. Well done, my granddaughter.
They had lunch while conversing about Angel and Dammy. That morning helped Melissa to beg for more reading lessons. She wanted to read all those books to improve her knowledge of ghosts. Still, Melissa didn't fully comprehend the new talent she had. As the weekend passed, her reading skills slowly progressed. Melissa felt proud of herself. Not very many letters jumbled around. Her mama was impressed. Grandma Burke knew, though, that even with the family's help, Melissa would have trouble. She called Quinn and told him on Sunday afternoon. Melissa was with Lizzie.
Lizzie, why won't you tell me more about ghosts?
All that I know is what I wrote. That's why I keep encouraging you to read my book.
She smiled.
Have you seen any other ghosts? One or two, but they get scared when they see me,
she said with narrowed brows.
Don't know why.
Melissa sighed.
I wish I could tell my nanny about you. An actual author.
The way you talk about Kyler,
she said, wearing a smile.
It sounds like she's more than a nanny to you.
Melissa shrugged.
I suppose she would be an older sister that you never had.
Older sister?
Melissa repeated while she thought. She liked the sound of it.
Yeah, she would be.
She faintly smiled.
I tell her almost everything. It was this week, though, when I told her everything else.
It stayed quiet, as Lizzie thought. Melissa drank from her glass of lemonade.
I take it your nanny, Kyler, can keep a secret?
Unless my life is busily on the line,
she said with a small smile. Melissa still couldn't get the hospital experience out of her mind.
Then you can tell her. I'm not ready to reveal my name just yet. Baby steps, you know?
Yeah.
Melissa sighed.
I guess I better get going. Mama wants me to finish packing before Daddy gets here.
As she sat on her bike seat, she glanced toward Lizzie's house. Her author friend leaned on the doorframe.
Remember to take my book.
I will,
she called, putting on her helmet.
I hope I see you again.
I'm sure we will,
Lizzie whispered. That evening, Melissa attempted reading Lizzie's book. She could only manage a few sentences of the first paragraph. The ghost seer glanced up when she heard a knock. Kyler walked in.
Hey, Kyler.
The nanny sat on her bed.
You didn't talk much during dinner. Was the weekend difficult?
Not too much. Only when trying to find the Wu family.
So that ghost went into the light?
Kyler asked in surprise.
Yeah, and I crossed over four other ghosts.
Melissa closed the book.
It was so weird, but good. I didn't think I could do all that.
But you did.
She was about to continue, but one glance at the book stopped her.
What's that? Oh, Lizzie gave this to me. Mama already has one, so she thought I ought to have my own.
She showed the book to Kyler.
I can't seem to get past the first paragraph. It's a lot of words.
Kyler took it and looked over the book. The title took her by surprise. She read the author's bio before glancing at Melissa. Shaking her head, she sighed with a small smile.
You had a busy weekend, didn't you? No wonder you wouldn't say anything during dinner. Your brother and Quinn wouldn't have believed you.
Kyler giggled.
And Lizzie, do you mean the author?
Yep,
she said with a nod and a grin.
But you can't tell anyone. She's taking baby steps of going public.
Humiliation, huh?
No, obsessive fan. At least that's what she and her boyfriend said.
Boyfriend? At least Miss Parsons is in love.
She is, but he was one of the ghosts I crossed over.
Melissa got under the covers and wiggled comfortably.
Could you read me Lizzie's book?
You brushed your teeth and went to the bathroom?
Yep, and my cycle is done, so I don't need a new thing.
My, you're growing up so fast, Mel.
Thanks, sis,
she said unintentionally. Kyler smiled at her before opening the book. While flipping through the pages, she sighed.
Okay, here we go.
Introduction.
To be blunt, this book is not for the faint of heart. If you want a few tidbits on how to get rid of ghosts, you chose the wrong one. Close this book, and may your eyes never cross to it again. What I am to tell you is everything I learned from researching. The know-hows would not ease your mind. It is not about ridding yourself of ghosts. You are entering the ethereal world. Once you open that door, anything can and will happen. Be the wise one and close this book.
Tyler narrowed her brows. She looked up to ask Melissa something, but the ghost seer was fast asleep. Kyler chuckled and gently kissed her forehead.
Good night, Mel.
Melissa slept peacefully. No ghost entered her room or her house. When she woke for school the next morning, she glanced around and listened.
I miss you, Mom,
she whispered. Chapter 9. Deal with it, babe. Melissa dressed and headed to the kitchen. Oh, no! Wait, I gotta stop reading. Oh, no! I'm short on time! All right. Unfortunately, I have to stop there. Okay, so I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rescue Rabbit, saying goodbye with Perfect Day by Lady Antebellum. Bye, everyone.
Day with nothing left to do. As the sun came breaking down through the clouds, I never seen the sky so blue. I saw a Cajun man with a rare guitar singing on the side of the street. I threw a handful of change in his beat up case and said, play me a country beat, and it sounded like. The back of a jacked up Jeep, but the wind upon my face. We got to the spot and the sun was hot. Everybody was feeling fine. So we jumped on in for a midday swim, and we lost all track of time. It was a perfect day. Working. Couldn't help but think, 'cause the stars above it don't get much better than this. It's a perfect day.